Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
We've been talking all month about an encounter. An encounter with a living God. Can I just say this, that we can talk as much as we want. I mean, in the book of Job, they talked about God for 40 chapters. For 40 chapters, they were to-ing and fro-ing about God and life and stuff. And that's okay. It's okay to talk about God. But then in chapter 41, God turned up. God actually arrived. And he just starts to talk about his glory and he reveals his glory. And all these great thinkers and theologians and all these sort of people with BAs and MAs and PhDs. I don't know, PhD, what's that, a post hole digger? I mean, Glenn, you and I have got a lot in common. Neither of us graduated high school. And here's the good thing, by the way, if you've got some teenagers there today and you're flung high school, don't worry, you can end up a pastor. It's awesome. It's awesome. But the only BA that matters is born again. The only MA that matters is marvelously altered. And God turns up and then Job gets down on his face and he says this. And I pray that you and I would say the same thing this morning. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. But now my eye sees you and I repent in dust and ashes. No matter how good we are, no matter how bad we are, no matter what we are or who we are this morning, can't we just pray that God will turn up? That we can have an encounter with Jesus Christ. You know, you and I are here because at one time in our lives, we had an encounter with God. Now, Ken Hedges is sitting in the front row. When did you have an encounter with God, Ken? Yeah. When did you first have an encounter with God? How old were you? 12 years old. I had an encounter with God when I was 20. And so we need an encounter with God. It'll change our lives. The whole aim this morning is this. It takes an encounter to get us in to the kingdom of God. But it's like getting married. You can get married. And I did. On the 2nd of February 1980, I got married. But then for the last 43 years, I've been working at staying married. And you can get saved, but you need to stay saved. And if it's an encounter that got you saved, then all of us this morning, all of us need an ongoing encounter with God to stay saved. Can we give God a hand? And that scripture that Mitch stole from me so nastily this morning, 2 Corinthians 3:17. If you've got your Bibles, you've got it on a phone, why don't you just turn to it? If not, it'll come up on the screen. And this is sort of referencing Moses, who said to God, he said, God, show me your glory. And God was a bit like Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men. Anybody seen that movie? He said, the glory, you can't handle the glory. He said, the glory. You remember Jack Nicholson said, the truth, you can't handle the truth. Well, the glory, we can't, you can't. And Moses said, I can handle it. He said, you can't handle it. God said, I'll tell you what I'll do. You go and stand in this crevice. So Moses stands in this crevice. And God said, you know what? I'm going to pass by. And I'm going to put my hand over the crevice. And then just as I'm, and then God passes by, his hand's over. Moses can't see anything. But there's this glory of God. And then just as God's disappearing around the corner, the fingers of God open and Moses gets a glimpse of God, of his beauty and his power and his nature. And he walks down the hill and his face is shining with the glory of God. And people couldn't look at him. He was so light and bright. He was reflecting. I'm just thinking about this right now. We reflect what we look at. We are an encapsulation of what captures our eyes and our vision. May we capture a vision of God so that he'll not only change our hearts, he'll change the countenance of our face. And so Moses comes down and they just can't look at him. And back then they didn't have any Bolos or anything like that, or Oakley sunglasses. I buy my sunglasses in Bali. They're not Oakleys, they're Jokleys. I just love going to Bali and buying cheap sunglasses. It's awesome. And so he puts a veil over his face and the glory begins to fade. And people can look at him because he's got this veil over his face, but he also gets embarrassed because and I'm just thinking about this right now. I hadn't thought about this until right now. He says, I'm going to leave this veil on. I don't want people to see that the glory's fading. Guys, if you've encountered God, the glory doesn't have to fade. But if you can continue to encounter God, it'll never fade. And let's just read this verse right now. We got it, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we all, everybody say, we all. We all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed. Everybody say transformed. We're on a journey of transformation, and it's awesome. We're being transformed into what? Into his image. Into his, to be like God, to be like Jesus. And there's something fantastic about Jesus, because if you want to know what God's like, Jesus said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Hebrews 1:3 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. And it says, we're being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. Can I say this? I don't know how long you've been on the journey for. You might have been on the journey for 6 months, for 6 years. I've been on the journey for 43 years. No, that's how long I've been married, actually. I got saved in 1976. How long's that? I'm not going to ask Glenn Vade because you didn't even graduate high school. Hey, you got a Calgary. It doesn't matter, but listen, it's ever increasing glory. We're getting better. We're getting bigger. We're getting brighter, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And it's all about God. It's all God until it's your turn. And I often say this, Pastor Phil has said some great... Who enjoyed Pastor Phil preaching last week? Come on, let's give him a hand. He was awesome. And I've heard him preach. I first heard Pastor Phil preach in 1977 in New Zealand, right? But he said a lot of what I've heard hundreds of his sermons, and he said some incredibly wise things. Two things stick out. The wisest thing he ever said was, Saundy, you're hired. the smartest thing he ever said was, Thorny, you're hired. The second smartest thing he ever said was this: God moves, then you move. Then God moves, then you move. So we need to position ourselves so we can have an encounter with the living God. Now, just if you've got your Bible open, look at Isaiah chapter 6. And this is one of the most profound encounters that anyone in the Bible and anyone in history has ever had. And it's Isaiah, and he's this man of God, and he's waiting on God. Then suddenly, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He sees God, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him was seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Everybody say glory.
Glory.
Over here, say glory.
Glory.
Okay, glory. The glory of God. And so Isaiah has this incredible... Now, here's the thing. Point one is this. When you have an encounter with God, you see God as he really is. God's not mean. God's not mad at you. Actually, he's mad about you. How good's that? What a difference. God, the Bible says, God is love. God is wonderful and glorious and gracious and powerful and merciful. But here Isaiah got, and he's so many different things, but Isaiah got a revelation on one aspect of God. What all the angels were saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And so when you have this encounter with God, you see God as he really is. Not like the religious people sort of go, well, God's mean, God's hard. No, no, no. God's beautiful. God's wonderful. But God is holy. So when we have an encounter with God, we see God as he really is. But secondly, we see ourselves as we really are. And so Isaiah not only has an encounter with God, he has an encounter with himself. And it's an encounter that brings conviction. You see, we need to be convicted about where we're at, but not in comparison to where somebody else is at. We don't see ourselves by our own emotions or by the views of others. Ultimately, we're judged by God. And we've got to measure ourselves by him personified in the person of Jesus Christ. And not only does Isaiah see God, he sees himself. And in verse 5, he says, woe to me. And I'm just noticing this now. Woe to me, is it up there? He spoke? No. He whispered? No. He exclaimed? No. What did he do? He cried. Woe, he cried. There's something, it touched his heart. It touched a nerve. He had a revelation of himself. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined. Because he began to compare himself with the holiness of God. And he realized there were areas in his life that he wasn't measuring up in. And he realized, I've got a problem. Now, anybody got a few problems? Anyway, by the end of the meeting, you're not going to just have problems, you're going to have solutions, right? But sometimes to get the solution, we need to realize really where we're at. Woe to me, I'm ruined. And he said this, I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. I remember when I got saved on the 19th of October, 1976. Can you put your hand up if you weren't born back then? Could you just raise your hand? On the 19th of October, 1976, you weren't born. That's the best response I've had to an altar call in years. And I remember, I was actually here watching the year 12s from Oxford Falls graduate during the week. And Maverick graduated. Oh, okay, right. So anyway, I'm there and they're giving out all these awards. And I'm thinking, I could donate an award for the year 12s, the Mark Saundercock Humility Award. I reckon it'd be awesome to present that every year, except you wouldn't be allowed to accept it because you're too humble, right? But anyway, and I remember I went home and I'd been in a meeting and God had touched me. I had an encounter with God. I was in this meeting and the preacher was preaching. I can still remember the service. I can still remember parts of his message. And people started going forward in the altar call and I stood there at the back of the auditorium. And this burning sensation started in my gut and started to move north and then exploded in my head. And my wife will tell you, he's been having brain explosions ever since. And I had this incredible encounter with God. And a couple of days later, I went home, got on my knees in Littleton, New Zealand, and I asked Christ to come into my life. And I wrote, someone had given me a Bible, and I wrote in the cover of the Bible, the first page, on the 19th of October, 1976, I, Mark Saundercock, a humble sinner, repented of my sins and was saved. And can I say, yeah, let's give God a hand. Thank God I got saved, right? And can I say, it's better felt than telt. I had an experience with God that totally changed my life. And I became a new person. Okay, it's awesome. But I needed to repent. I had an encounter that brought conviction into my world that my life needed to change. And like some things, there's principles that never change. Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might and it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Only the Holy Ghost can do it. Okay, only the Holy Ghost. In fact, he says, I've got a problem. As I said, I've got a problem with my mouth, with my lips. I've got unclean lips. The book of James says, no man can tame the tongue. No man can tame. In fact, if anybody can control his tongue, he's a perfect man. Well, we can't control it. We can ask God to help us. And God can give us a spirit of self-control. And we can be on the journey to being that person. And so he cried out. He realized he had problems and he needed help. Now, here's point three. So we see God as he really is. We see ourselves as we really are. But then immediately, God doesn't convict us of needs in our lives to hang us out to dry, so we have to walk around flagellating ourselves, feeling bad, like all the South African supporters this morning for the rugby, flogging themselves. No. God shows us areas that need to be addressed. And then look what it says. He says, woe to me, I need help. Verse 6, then one of the seraphim flew to me. Immediately, the answer and the solution came to the struggle that he was having internally. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. Immediately, God is there. Now, God's busy, right? Would you agree with me? I mean, you think you're busy. God's really busy. I mean, God's got this whole universe to look after. He's got all the angels and the seraphim and whatever. And then he's keeping the light shining, keeping the stars blinking. It's all good. And then he looks at Earth and there's this whole planet with 7 billion people in this planet, and he's got it running around helping everybody, and he's praying and helping, and God's busy, right? But he's not too busy for you. And so as soon as he, woe to me, bang, I've got unclean lips, bang, God comes and touches him. And there's a supernatural reply that comes directly from the throne of heaven. Come on. And there's some people here that need a bit of that action this morning, and you're going to get it. But anyway, more of that later. Okay. And not only when we have an encounter with God, do we see God as he really is? Do we see ourselves as we really are? Do we get convicted of areas that need to change? And the solution comes so that we can become whom God has called us to be. We also get released to do what God has called us to do. And that comes in the place of a God encounter. And we see it here. See, Glenn was saying before, he said, I was searching for my purpose. What was I going to do? And he said, who I am. This is where I'm at. And so all of us, God has plans for all of our lives. We all have different talents. We all have different giftings and abilities. And it's in the place of the God encounter that those abilities are unlocked. And we're released not only to be who he's called us to be, because we're human beings, not human doings, but out of the being comes the doing. And we begin to do. And then the voice of God, see, God hadn't just opened his eyes to see him. He had opened his ears to hear him. And look what it says in verse 8. He says this, then I heard the voice of God in the God encounter saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, and if, you know what? I was researching this message and I thought, you know what? He got his lips were touched. And the first thing he said was, here I am, send me. Isn't that great? What a great response. Here I am with all my stuff. I'm not the finished article. I'm still on a journey, but there's a need over here. And I'm going to put my hand up this morning, God, to say, here I am, send me with my gifting and my personality and my abilities, my time, my finances, whatever it is, here I am, send me. And that comes out of an encounter. An encounter with God. Now, it's all about an encounter. So the question is, how can I have an encounter? How can I have an encounter with God? Well, here's a great thing. Let me help you here. It's not rocket science. Glenn Vade and I are living proof of that. It's not rocket science. Anybody can do it. It's easy. Because Jesus said, my yoke is, my burden's light. It's not a big deal. God delights in taking the foolish things of this world to shame the wise, the uneducated people, the average people. Jesus took 12 average men and made them into something great because they encountered and walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we have an encounter with God? It's easy. Actually, I was preaching in a church in America and I said, you know, it's not rocket science. We don't have any rocket scientists here, do we? And everyone starts laughing. There's two rocket scientists sitting in the congregation. Anyway, number one, it's easy. Pray. Pray. As I said when I kicked the meeting off, James 4:8, come near to me and I'll come near to you. You determine your spiritual temperature. Now, I know God does. God gets us saved, but then we need to step out and begin to pray. That's our step. God can't and won't do that for you. He sends Jesus, and then he sends the Holy Spirit. That's his job. Your job is to position yourself. Posture yourself in prayer. And we've got a prayer meeting this Wednesday night, 6:00, in the chapel. The chapel of love. I'll see you there. Okay, because my wife's out of town. I'm not getting any love at home. That's why I'm coming to church as much as I can. I need all the love I can get. All right. Pray. Jeremiah 29:13 says this, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Isn't that awesome? So if you want to seek God with all your heart, you'll find him and you'll have an encounter with him. Prayer. It's easy, isn't it? We can all do that, right? Okay. Secondly, worship. The King James Version, Psalm 22:3 says, "God is enthroned on the praises of his people." As we come into church, as we're driving our car, as we're going about our business, wherever you are, you're driving along, just don't close your eyes, okay, while you're driving, but worship God. The greatest calling isn't to be a preacher, the greatest calling is to be a worshiper. God's called you to worship him. So whatever it takes, I don't know, you might not be the best singer in the world. Now, Richard Forsyth, have you ever heard Richard? Richard stinks, right? Singing. He is the worst singer I've ever heard. But God's looking at his heart. God looks at his heart and says, "You know what? I love it. I want more of it." We're called to be worshipped. So God will be enthroned on your worship and your praise. Thirdly, this thing here, the Bible. Jesus said, "Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." The Song of Songs says, "Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice." And I just think the Bible's like a lattice. The more we look into it, the more we see Jesus looking back out from every page. And the more we read, the wider the lattice appears, the more clearly we see him. And then as we see Jesus, there's someone behind him looking around the corner of Jesus, looking at us. And that's the new you, the new me. And as we don't need to go and find ourselves, we just need to find Christ. And as we don't need to go to an ashram or to some self-discovery program. No. We just need to come to church. We just need to worship God. We just need to read the Bible and pray. And as we do that, we find Christ and we find ourselves in him. Can we give God a hand? I'm working hard today, everybody. I'm working hard. And the fourth thing, and I'll close with this today. And I'm preaching to the choir, because simply come to church, go to Connect Group, gather together with God's people. Position yourself where God will bless you. I'm reminded of the guy at the gate, beautiful. Maybe the musicians could come right now. The man at the gate, beautiful. And he's sitting there thinking it was another Monday. I'm just thinking about this right now. Another mundane day. Another day where he's going to have to beg for a crust of bread. But he didn't realize, the layman in Acts 3, he was sitting in a beautiful place. The gate beautiful at the temple. And it was a beautiful time. It was the time of prayer. And two beautiful people were coming, Peter and John. And as we position ourselves in the right place, at the right time, with the right people, the right thing will happen to you and you'll have an encounter with God. So guys, this morning, it takes an encounter to get us in, but it takes ongoing encounters to keep us in. You know, Moses had a bright and shining face. I went out on my first date with a girl called Kerry Ratcliffe, and I didn't tell anybody I was going on this date. The next day I went to work and I sat down at morning tea with a bunch of Christian men, and one looked at me and he said, "Have you got a girlfriend or something?" I said, "Yeah, only from last night." I said, "How do you know?" And he said this, I can see it in your eyes. The question is, can people still see in our eyes that we're in love with God and that we're having an encounter with the living God? Let's step up and encounter Him this morning.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.